Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show. The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
This is a blue-collar boom.
The Democratic Party is a center or center-conservative party.
You only arrest for the purpose of dealing with a felony that's committed, and I don't count drunk driving as a felony.
I think your viewers are entitled to hear my argument without two bullies jumping on everything I say.
What better than a violent protest to justify immediate gun confiscation? You can imagine, actually, that some of the press already had tomorrow's columns pre-written.
How many times do I have to prove a man is a liar before he isn't featured any longer as the main witness for all you people in the press?
Boy, that's the truth. Rudy Giuliani giving him a little bit of hell as we enter Hell Week. Wasn't that a good way to put it? Today starts the trial of the president in the Senate. So it's like our own personal Hell Week. You think? That's true.
This whole impeachment has been hell month.
No kidding.
Or months. I don't even know. I've lost count.
We're close to the end, though. Getting closer to the end.
I heard somebody point out 48 days is how long this lasted in the House from start to finish.
Jeez.
And now who knows how much longer this will go on. So happy Tuesday. Welcome back to your work week if you had the day off yesterday.
Yeah.
Trish and I were here.
We were
working.
But you won't be on Friday.
We won't be on Friday.
You know, it all evens out.
Hey, if you heard off the top of that, President Trump, believe it or not, at 5:12 in the morning on Tuesday morning is actually live because he's over in Switzerland speaking at the World Economic Forum. And I wonder what it must feel like to get to speak at the World Economic Forum when you stand at the helm of the world's strongest economy. Because that's where he is right now, and part of what he's commenting on. Let's listen for just a moment to the president live right now.
And in doing so, we will continue to show strong leadership in restoring, growing, and better managing our trees and our forests. This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. They are
Greta.
The heirs of yesterday's foolish fortune tellers, and I have them, and you have them, and we all have them. And they want to see us do badly, but we don't let that happen. They predicted an overpopulation crisis in the 1960s, mass starvation in the 70s, and an end of oil in the 1990s. These alarmists always demand the same thing, absolute power to dominate, transform, and control every aspect of our lives. We will never let radical socialists destroy our economy, wreck our country, or eradicate our liberty.
There you have it. Thank you, Mr. President, speaking strongly in front of a group of European socialist Democrats in Switzerland. I mean, that's the guy right there. Just so you know that he's not speaking to a friendly crowd, yet you heard the applause when we first went to the president over at the World Economic Forum. We'll record some of that and bring you some of his comments here a little later. And if he makes any comments about impeachment. I don't know. Maybe he already has at the top of the speech, but he just started about 10 minutes ago or so. We'll get back to that. We got lots going on today. We've got our Speaker Tim Jones coming up, our Real or Fake News quiz. We're going to have all the coverage for you of this gun rights rally in Richmond, Virginia. What a sight for sore eyes that was yesterday to see all these Second Amendment American-loving patriots on the streets of Richmond, Virginia. And did you see all of the violence? No, you didn't, because there was none. It was all blown out of proportion by Governor Blackface Northam and the rest of them, who hoped there would be problems yesterday so they could build their case for these draconian gun laws they're suggesting. So we're going to talk more about that this morning. We'll get to Todd Pyro a little later. And my friend Chris Arps coming in here, he's got a new column out in Red State on this Virginia. What's going on in Virginia? Not about the guns so much as the fact that it turned blue, and there's strong hope that it might turn back the other way, including one of the leading senators of Virginia who's in the fight of his life with a newcomer to the political scene. We're going to get to all of that and more today on the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The Democratic Party is not a left party. The Democratic Party is a center or center conservative party.
Well, well, well.
She makes friends every day, doesn't she?
The gifts just keep on coming. From Alexandria Occasional Cortex. This is the woman who said that in any other country, she and Joe Biden would not be in the same party. I don't know what she's talking. She apparently, even though she exists within the Democratic Party, she ran as a Democrat. She serves as a Democrat. She doesn't like the Democratic Party. Why doesn't she just join the Socialist Party? It's a fascinating concept to me that someone who's garnered this much attention is so desperate to hurt her party's chances of ever regaining power in this country. But when I tell you that she's a socialist, you need to understand that. And if you want to hear something that sounds hauntingly like Barack Obama, go to cut number 7 for me, Tricia, please.
Selling those widgets, making those widgets. Therefore, those billions of dollars are mine. Why am I the enemy of healthcare?
Well, you didn't make those widgets, did you? Because you employed thousands of people and paid them less than a living wage to make those widgets for you. You didn't make those widgets. You sat on a couch while thousands of people were paid modern-day slave wages.
Can you, but this is the, I want you to, so she's got a businessman who said to her, how am I the enemy if I employ thousands of people to make widgets?
Because he didn't make them with his own hand?
Because you weren't in the plant making them, and you paid the people making them less money than they should have made.
Makes zero sense.
Therefore, you don't deserve the wealth that you've earned, and the government should take that wealth back and redistribute it.
And if that business owner isn't out getting more business for his employees to make more widgets, then there is no business to be made.
Thank you. It's just basic economics that this woman who has a college degree in like international business or something simply has no grasp of. They should shut down the college she graduated from. How did she get a degree with that little bit of understanding of how economics works? It's an amazing thing to listen to. She's also mad about FEMA's Hurricane Maria response. I mean, could Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez possibly be coming around to Donald Trump's point of view? Listen to cut 8.
I think in terms of the physical impact on Puerto Rico, I think that's something that many of us either know or can imagine, that there was never any recovery from the infrastructure damage in Hurricane Maria, which was primed and positioned for thousands of people to die because of the PROMESA Act, which has basically promised any investment generated by the island goes to Wall Street before it goes to our schools, before it goes to our hospitals.
Oh, my God. So the country of Puerto Rico, the state of Puerto Rico is bankrupt, right? What she's referring to there is you've got all of this debt that you can't pay. So that act simply says a portion of the GDP of the country is going to go. If you're not going to pay your bills, we're going to pass an act that forces you to take a chunk of that change and pay something towards your debt each day. It's like almost like having your wages garnished. You know you've screwed up if you're at a point where you have to have your wages garnished. That means you owe somebody money and you won't pay them, and the court comes in and says, we're just going to take it out of your paycheck and then send you whatever's left over. That's what she's angry about. Did you see what happened in the streets in Puerto Rico today? I don't know if you've watched, if you've tuned into the network news this morning. There are protesters demanding that the governor of Puerto Rico resign after that mob found a warehouse full of supplies, among the supplies sent there by the United States government for Hurricane Maria, is I think how Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just pronounced it, sent there by the United States FEMA to save people, and it was locked up in a warehouse and never distributed.
Wow.
Tons and tons and tons of water.
Why?
And diapers and food and all, because as Donald Trump's been pointing out, the corruption in Puerto Rico is beyond our imagination. There's nothing in the United States, I mean, even like Baltimore and Detroit don't rise to the level of corruption that exists in the state of Puerto Rico.
Is it just being able to go unchecked?
It goes unchecked. Supplies are sent in and local gangs take control of them. And instead of handing them out, they sell them to profit off of them, which is why FEMA had such strict requirements on who was in charge of receiving the supplies sent. Meanwhile, all of the liberal progressives in this country, including Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and some mayor down there in Puerto Rico, remember her? She's a Hillary Clinton supporter who got on all the network news, mm-hmm. are standing up screaming that Donald Trump doesn't care about the Puerto Rican people. He's not sending supplies to the people. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Slow your roll. You've got people down there who are not honest. We're going to make sure the food and the water and the supplies are getting directly to the people and aren't having to go through secondary organizations that aren't honest people. This is an example. People are mad. A mob of people found out that this stuff was there. They broke into the facility and found tons and tons of water and food. And I mean, it's an amazing picture to see them opening the doors of this warehouse and all this food in there that didn't get used. That hurricane was 2 years ago. 2 years ago. So now the people in Puerto Rico are saying the governor needs to resign. He or she immediately fired the FEMA, their emergency services director down there. It's outrageous. Donald Trump was right. That's the point of this. He warned you about that, and everybody said he was some heartless SOB who wouldn't do anything. We'll be back in just a minute. Right now, let's get to Rodney Boyd, please. Rodney Boyd joining us on the phone this morning.
Hey, good morning.
Marijuana is going to be on the ballot, it looks like, in the state of Missouri in November. Probably a recreational marijuana bill. Now we've already got the medical marijuana, right?
Well, we've got medical marijuana on the books because of the initiative petition process that we've talked about. That's where you go outside the legislature, get the signatures, put it on the ballot, and people check the box, yes or no. That passed. There are four measures that have been approved by the Secretary of State's office. And for the listeners that don't know, if you want to go through that process where you bypass the legislature, you got to first start with the Secretary of State's office by filing ballot language. There's a vetting process where they look at it. There's actually a comment period that is rarely ever utilized by citizens to comment on the language, and then it's certified. Four measures have been certified for recreational marijuana. Now, there's still the hill to climb to get the signatures that you need by some point in May to get on the November ballot. But the effort is underway. The effort is underway. And think about this. 11 states, including our neighbor to the east, have already passed recreational marijuana, not medicinal. We have medicinal in Missouri, and now there's an effort, at least four versions of language approved by Secretary Ashcroft for our consideration if you can get the signatures to go on the ballot. So I think, and we talked about this, Mark, it's inevitable. I think it's coming. I think that for the libertarian-minded folks who think that this is no different than alcohol or other controlled substances which are legal, they're going to lean in. I think there's going to be this coalition of progressive, liberal, and libertarians, no matter what traditional conservatives might think. So I think we're heading down the path of recreational marijuana. I just hope we know, I hope we can take a moment to slow down and reflect on where we actually might be heading, because this is a different ballgame. As someone said recently, the marijuana today, they said the marijuana of Snoop Dogg ain't the marijuana of Bob Marley. The potency is at another level, and we better make sure we understand what kind of culture we're creating if we open up this Pandora's box.
I would say, Rodney Boyd, that there's about as much chance of slowing down this train as Jeff Spicoli getting to Mr. Hahn's class on time, which is zero.
Yeah, and it's kind of going to be interesting to me, because I think that people don't understand two things. One, this level of the potency is high. We have an addictive culture. We are, on the one hand, fighting to create, you know, mechanisms to deal with the opioid crisis because of the over-prescription of opioid drugs and the backlash that that's led to. We have more people today addicted to some kind of narcotic. Then think about this, Mark. More people today in our great nation are addicted to some narcotic than ever at any time in the history of the country. And that's probably in part why there is no slowing down the recreational marijuana train, because people are more comfortable with narcotics being normalized. But I don't think people are comfortable with the consequences that we're going to continue to face as narcotics and drugs become more normalized.
Yeah, it's a great point. I'm waiting for the two sides to have a meeting of the minds and start to argue that if we just legalize recreational marijuana, we could use the money we raised to expand Medicaid.
You know, the Medicaid expansion is, you talked about a train that's moving. It's not a fast-moving train, but it certainly is a strong-moving train. You've got most of the major hospital systems on board with it. Their interest is people coming in their doors with no insurance. They're not looking at the state budget. They're looking at their cost, their operational cost. There isn't yet. Someone asked me this last week, you know, whether it was right to work or whether it's some pro-life issues or gun issues. There are often well-funded, organized opposition forces that begin to work against initiatives. We're not seeing that with this one. I mean, someone asked me last week, is there any formal group that is out there with resources that are creating an opposition to expanding Medicaid? And I just don't see it. I mean, there are a few national groups that have hired consultants to sort of monitor and report, but we don't see any organized at this late stage in this process of trying to expand it through initiative petition. I don't see any organization, no TV commercials, no offices opening up, none of that. So it seems that the inevitable forces that want the Medicaid expansion are going to get what they want.
Well, I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid you're right, and people need to wake up, because, you know, I pointed this out last week. This is not just, oh, we're so nice. We need to raise the or lower the threshold for people to be able to qualify for government-paid health care. And what they don't realize on the other side of that is the cost and the fact that something's going to have to be cut if that passes, or taxes are going to have to be raised.
Yeah, well, we are. I tell you this, we are not a state inclined to raise taxes.
No, we're not.
At the state level. So the cuts are probably what people are going to have to brace for, and this is something that people haven't really had to deal with. We consistently have, as certain people have said, more revenues coming in. So we haven't made the kind of significant cuts that the threats out there have sort of lent themselves to. We hear all the time about there are going to be cuts to social services, there are going to be cuts to higher education, there are going to be cuts to, and there, what happens is, it's not that we cut, we just don't increase the spending. If you expand Medicaid and there is not a source of revenue to backfill, there will have to be, in this great state of Missouri, there have to be cuts, and those cuts are going to come in those services that haven't really seen them. So we're setting ourselves up for, I think, a cataclysmic occurrence. First time ever where you're going to see somebody say, hey, we're going to have to cut the corrections budget. We're hearing complaints now about people, about the Department of Corrections is complaining about offenders being released too early. So all these conversations are going to be that much more acute, Mark, as this train moves inevitably toward what appears to be across the finish line of passage.
Yeah, very true. I hope people wake up before that happens, because that train is coming. People need to be, at least we're keeping them aware of it, Rodney, and that's kind of the point here.
You have been probably one of the most clear mediums for talking about these issues that don't seem to get a lot of attention until after they passed on the ballot. And there's so many big issues that are getting through the initiative process, and then we're just responding to them. As you know, Clean Missouri was one, and now we're looking at Cleaner Missouri to put the issue back on the ballot because people didn't sort of wake up and really dive into those issues before.
Yeah, it's a good point. Well, thank you for bringing it to our attention. You know, I had the governor on last week after the State of the State. I watched the speech, at least the big portion of it. I didn't really hear the governor roll out anything new in terms of big spending priorities or, what did you think of what the governor had to say last week?
Look, I've seen a bunch of these speeches. I think he achieved what he needed to. For most people, this was the first time the governor used it to do two things. One, reflect on his accomplishments, because many people weren't clear, because you weren't like us, we pay attention. Many people weren't sure what had happened or what was done in his administration. So he wanted to do the recap. So he did the recap, and he got the recap done. And that's what he wanted to do. And he talked about his vision for going forward, but most of it was his recap.
Yeah, that's very true. He and I talked a little bit about that, a little bit about the refugee issue and some of the other stuff going on. One thing we didn't get into a lot was Clean Missouri. Has the governor indicated whether or not he supports rolling that back, or at least the portion dealing with redistricting?
It's a good question. So this is there is a resolution passing to put this back on the ballot. So the governor has not had to formally come out and take a position. It won't go to him for his signature, Mark. If this resolution passes, which is introduced by Dan Hageman, it will put the issue back on the ballot for the voters to deal with. So he hasn't had to sort of come out. I think the governor's tendencies are he doesn't like most people who didn't like the redistricting format. But this isn't an issue that he's had to sort of get at the tip of the spear on, because this is an issue that will go back before the voters if and when, I do believe, the Senate resolution makes its way through the Senate and the House.
Yeah, very good point there. You know, one of our state representatives, now you probably haven't seen this, hate to drop it on you in the middle of the segment here, Rodney, but one of our state representatives have made a little bit of national news today. Did you know that? Ben Baker has put together something called the Parental Oversight of Public Libraries Act.
Wow.
And, it's probably one of these things that he pre-filed that may not have an ice cube's chance in hell, but what it targets is libraries in Kansas City and St. Louis have held reading time with drag queens.
Wow.
And what his bill would do would be to create an elected public board that would vote on whether or not things like that would be okay at the library. Anything that public funds would be spent on to let a drag queen come in that they think wouldn't meet, public standards, then they could vote to not allow that.
Yeah, I mean, I this is an issue that I wasn't focused on, but, I'll dig into it. But I'll tell you, if nothing else, what he's probably done is raised awareness of this issue. This is, I think, clearly one of my first times ever hearing this issue happening. And so I think what the representative probably has done, and I don't know that this will get through the legislature, but he probably has raised this issue where local, because a lot of the library funding is local campaigns, local incentives, as you know, from St. Louis County to St. Louis City and beyond. So I think what he's probably done is raised this issue, and it will now become a conversation topic at a minimum, as it is on your show, for some of the local library community supporters and authorities as to whether or not this is something that they want to support or rein in. So whether he gets the legislation through or not, as you mentioned, now that this is national attention, it's going to force the local library boards and authorities to have this conversation and probably bring more attention and energy around it.
Yep, very true. Interesting that story's out this morning, certainly. Listen, Rodney, we always love having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for all your coverage, and we look forward to talking to you as the session moves on.
Yeah, and I wanted to mention that I enjoyed your interview with Nick Schroer this weekend on Insider Talk.
Yeah, Nick is emerging, a very strong emerging voice in the conservative and regional caucus, and he's somebody we got to pay attention to because I think his voice is only going to continue to grow.
Well, how could you miss him with that beard? I mean, seriously. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. He looks the part. He looks the part that he's actually carrying out in Jeff City.
Indeed. Rodney, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Rodney shows on Sundays here, noon to 1 on the radio station. Be sure and give it a listen. You'll appreciate that.
Don't you love her ways?
A year from today, we'll be hosting this show from the National Mall as the next president of the United States takes the oath of office. Will that president be Donald Trump? Well, as of tonight, Republicans in Washington feel confident that it will be. The official economic numbers are strong. The Democratic primaries are a freak show. Elderly socialists accusing each other of thought crimes.
Wow, think about that. 1 year from today will be the day after. So 1 year from yesterday officially is the day the next president of the United States will be inaugurated. Wow.
Time flies when you're having this much fun.
No, can you believe it's gone by this fast? All this winning has made me lose track of time. The president's over in Davos, Switzerland at the World Economic Forum today. And he's bragging to all of the envious socialists over there about how great the United States economy is.
In the 8 years before I took office, over 300,000 working-age people left the workforce. In just 3 years in my administration, 3.5 million people have joined the workforce. 10 million people have been lifted off welfare in less than 3 years. Celebrating the dignity of work is a fundamental pillar of our agenda. This is a blue-collar boom.
Yeah, you didn't build that, Mr. President. That's what Barack Obama and AOC want to say to you. It's just silly season. It is silly season in the world right now. Here's the thing, and I love listening to Tucker Carlson, but I want you to hear this soundbite from him. He believes that there are threats from the left in terms of the election next year. I want you to listen to his logic here. Go to cut 27.
Bernie Sanders may get the Democratic nomination, and if he does, every Republican in Washington will spend the next 10 months reminding you that socialism does not work and never has worked. And they'll be right, obviously. But if Sanders pledges to forgive student loans, he will still win many thousands of voters who went for Donald Trump last time. Why? Because debt is crushing an entire generation of Americans.
Yeah, hear that? So that's not far from the argument, Tricia, that you made, was it last week, about why, when it comes to health care, yep, there are people who may not be socialists like Elizabeth Warren, but when she tells you that she's going to give you something for free that you currently now struggle to afford, that catches people's attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without following through the logical consequences of the fact that it's not free.
Oh, no, I think a lot of people can follow through the logical consequences. I just think one side's talking about fixing a problem that's very real for people, and the other side isn't, and that's what's catching people's attention.
Right, and hopefully Trump can make the argument, well, we could have fixed health care, but the Democrats wouldn't help us. I mean, that's part of the problem. He floated a couple of ideas, and was told they were dead on arrival. There's no way the Democrats are going to pass them because they want Medicare for all. Is all they really care about.
I think he should start talking about it more then.
He needs to.
And make the Democrats come to the table with a different suggestion then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna have to.
That whole pointing fingers and the whole, well, they're not doing it, it's not my fault, isn't working for people that are actually struggling.
But again, I did go out and look at, the other day I saw an ad for a nice GMC Sierra pickup truck that's about $40,000. Here's what I want. I want to go get about a five-year loan on it, drive it for 5 years, and then decide at the end of it that I don't want to pay for it, that it's not fair that I had to pay $40,000 for what I just purchased. That's the nonsense of eliminating student debt. I'm sorry. That's where it is.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.